Follow the tree line on the left or the back with your eyes. It juts into the field, recedes, and then points inward again. Archaeologists investigated the spot just past that point near the trees. Local tradition claimed the Boone's first home in this region stood there. The scientists found evidence of several structures. In 1767, you would be looking at one end of Daniel and Rebecca Boone's fourth home of their own, a 20-foot square cabin with a single room and a 10-foot extension built off the far end, perhaps a stable or storeroom. An outhouse would partially block your view a few steps closer. Beyond the home was an outbuilding, perhaps a barn, jutting past the right side in your view. It's unknown how much, if any, of the land around it was cleared for farming. A small creek runs behind the trees and empties into Beaver Creek at the back of the field. That flows to the right and empties into the Yadkin River on the other side of North Carolina 268. Imagine Daniel and Rebecca setting up housekeeping as you read or hear their amazing story. Most of what is known about Daniel Boone comes from two early sources, a short autobiography dictated to someone who probably embellished it, and an unfinished manuscript drafted by historian C. Lyman Draper in the 1840s. This page follows those sources unless better evidence contradicts them. Many myths arose about Boone in the centuries after his exploits. Some of the best known are addressed in footnotes. Before Daniel Boone gained lasting fame as a frontiersman in Kentucky, he honed his survival skills as a young adult in North Carolina. His father, Squire Boone, had emigrated from England to Pennsylvania, where he became a farmer and gunsmith. Daniel, born in 1734, started to wander early. Confined in their home due to a smallpox outbreak, he at six and his older sister Elizabeth gained their freedom by visiting an ill family to purposely get sick. Both recovered. One of 11 children, Daniel grew up helping his mother Sarah herd the family's cattle and hunting small game with a club he made until his father bought him a rifle at 13. An aunt taught him to read and write. In later years, he often took Gulliver's Travels with him on his journeys. Delawares passed through the area regularly, exposing Daniel to Native American culture and skills. Squire visited the fertile lands along the Yadkin River in North Carolina in 1750 and filed a claim in today's Davie County. After a two-year sojourn, including an initial stop in Virginia, the family probably settled into a cabin east of the Yadkin for a year in modern Davidson County. In 1753, Squire bought the land he had claimed and a second Davie tract the family moved to on Bear Creek. During the journey from Pennsylvania, 15-year-old Daniel began making overnight hunting trips on his own. He attended trading fairs around Salisbury, where he showed off his marksmanship in shooting matches, sometimes doing trick shots to scare off competitors. When the French and Indian War broke out, Daniel became a part-time militia soldier for a 1755 campaign against a French fort in today's Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Boone was assigned to the baggage train. That's likely where he met John Finley, who told him of a warrior path through the Virginia Mountains near modern Tennessee. The campaign ended in an ambush, but they escaped. Boone married Rebecca Bryan the next year, part of another prominent family in the area. His biographer Draper says Boone tested her by casually cutting up her apron and approved her lack of anger. After living briefly on his father's land, the couple bought a cabin northeast of Moxville on Sugar Tree Creek. They would eventually raise 9 children. Rebecca took on all the homesteading duties, including raising extra vegetables for sale, and was an excellent shot herself. That's good, because Daniel became a long hunter, disappearing into the western wilderness for months collecting hides and pelts, ignoring both British law and Native American rights to the land. Long hunters dressed in the practical clothing of the natives. Though some wore coonskin caps, Boone did not. He used a beaver felt hat with a wide brim and a high crown to look taller, a biography says, though at 5'8", he was about average for the time. He was strongly built, with nearly black hair and blue eyes, and weighed around 175 pounds at his best. Boone probably first crossed the Appalachians in 1760, etching on a tree that he killed a bar, killed a bear. After possibly fording up with his family at Fort Dobbs near today's Statesville for protection from Cherokee raiders, he moved them to Northern Virginia for a time. There he worked as a wagon driver and probably met George Washington. After they moved back to Sugar Tree Creek, Boone returned home from a year-long hunt to a big surprise. Rebecca had a third child. She explained she thought he had died and in mourning had become close to his younger brother, Nettie. Boone admitted to dalliances with Native women, forgave them, and accepted the child as his daughter, Jemima. In 1761, he tracked down a young girl kidnapped by husband and wife robbers and later helped capture their gang. Then with friends, Boone went looking for land in Florida and might have starved if Seminoles had not fed them. He bought a parcel at today's Pensacola, but Rebecca refused to move there. Instead, the family moved 65 miles up the Yadkin, only to move further upriver to this area the year after. please scroll down to the Beaver Creek section and click its audio clip.